Right, peeps. We're starting just a little bit late, so I'll keep the introduction shorter. First of all, good morning to everyone. This is the second day of the conference, and yeah, good stuff, good stuff. Now, I'm super happy I can be introducing our next speaker, George Marquez, because GDScript holds a special place in my heart. You see, I'm a self-taught programmer, and I know I'm not the only one. Because of GDScript, I learned how to program, right? I did. I went into C#. It was the concepts of programming. C#, I even dabbled in C++. You know, when I did that, I was like, okay, success right there. So yeah, George is here to tell us about the past, the present, and the future of GDScript. So please, welcome him.
Hello. First of all, I want to thank everyone for being here, to attending. Not only the conference, but also my talk. I'm recovering a bit from flu, so I apologize if my voice is not the best or if I have to stop a little bit for water. And let's gonna start. I'm gonna talk a little bit about, let's introduce the topic, and I'm gonna talk about myself first. If you don't know who I am, I'm a Godot contributor since 2015. It's been a long way. I'm a member of the Godot Foundation board. I'm a maintainer of the GDScript implementation currently. I am responsible for a lot of big changes. I broke a lot of stuff in GDScript, sorry. And I also did other contributions in other areas of the engine. I contribute to GD extension. I did a few things with UWP platform as well and some other stuff. And what is GDScript? I think that's a good point to start, as if you didn't know what it was. It is a gradually typed language, which means that you can use a dynamically typed, but you can gradually add a static type into it. So it's you can measure how much you want of each type. It's an indentation-based syntax, like a Python, I guess, mostly Python, which is actually very good for formatting purposes because it forces you to go that good formatting. It's tailor-made for Godot. It's the language that's very specifically made to work inside Godot with Godot core and everything. It was focused on gameplay programming, so a lot of some of the resources that you can do in the language as focused for specifically for gameplay. And it's fully integrated in the editor. You have like an IDE that you can edit code. You don't need to leave the Godot editor to editor code. And it's simple, but it's a powerful language. It's you can do anything you want, except some things, but it's a very powerful language. You can do just a lot with it. And I'm gonna just go very briefly about the internals of the language because I plan to mention them in the next few slides. So I'll understand what we mean by when I say like the tokenizer, which is also known as a scanner in the textbook, which is essentially gets the source text from your file, from GDScript file, and converts everything into something that the computer can understand a little bit better instead of just individual characters. Like you have the if keyword, just instead of the I and the F characters, you can just understand as one single thing. And it goes to the next step, which is the parser, which checks the structure of the language, and it makes sure the syntax is correct, and give errors if not, and otherwise it creates a tree structure so you can use on the next steps. The analyzer is like the what checks the types, checks the semantics, make sure that the code are more solid. We have the compiler. I mean, it's called a compiler in Godot, but it's like the code generator. Usually it's called the code generator in the textbook, which creates a bytecode, which is essentially like a binary representation of some instructions. And those instructions are run by the virtual machine. And the virtual machine just reads the bytecode and actually runs the things that you want to run. All right, let's start with the past. Why does JavaScript exist? There's a lot of other languages out there, you know. Why do you want my favorite language? Languages have been tried in the past. Like before Godot was open sourced, Lua and Squirrel and Python were tried, and they all had some issues. And there's some difficulty embedding the languages into the engine. Some languages, like Python, was not really made to be embedded anywhere. Other languages like Lua and Squirrel was, but they have other problems. You have to convert types between the engine and the language. Like if you have a vector 2, Python doesn't have a vector 2. So you have to convert to a format that Python understands, and that's conversion just takes a lot of the performance away from the language. You have to also make like a glue code, have to make sure that all this conversion is happening. It's a lot of code just to make it the conversions happening, and everything communicates with another. Sometimes multi-threading is very difficult. Like Python specifically is the most difficult one because it's just not made for multi-threading code. So just create a language that is simple and is tailor-made for Godot. It has a variant, the variant type, which allows different types to go into the same thing, the same like container, let's say. It was already there. It's already needed, even if other scripting languages were used, you need something like that. It was already there, so let's use it. It's actually making JavaScript, at least at first, was just simpler. The whole code was simpler than the glue code to another language. And it can talk directly with the Godot types. If I have a vector 2 in Godot, it's the same vector 2 in JavaScript. You don't have to convert anything, so that makes it much more convenient. And you also can integrate syntax. Like you have signals, and you can put that straight into the language, into exports, and whatnot. But why does JavaScript still exist? Because, I mean, it has been a long way since those problems happened. But the thing is, there's still the same problems, essentially. This thing about conversion code, the marshalling, the glue code, the threading, is also problems in a lot of languages. And now we have a great ecosystem in JavaScript. There's a lot of material that you can find and tutorials, and you're just gonna throw everything away for another language and you're gonna like start from scratch. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And the language is just getting better. I mean, there's a lot of people working on it, and the language is not the same language as well. You know, it's now a much more established language. But what about C#? Because, I mean, C# is also supported directly in Godot, first part support, and you have C++, and you have like community bindings like Rust or Neem or some other languages, and I think they fulfill the niche. So if you like Rust, you can use Rust with Godot, that's not a problem. But I mean, people who are using JavaScript would not like swap to Rust or even C# for that matter, because there's a lot of overload of things that goes on with that. The thing about marshalling or the conversion like between types, between the engine types and the language types, is your problem, because C# also does not have a vector 2 type. So you have to do some things to make sure it works. And the C# integration does a lot of things to make it work, which takes a little bit away of performance. And I mean, just they are not meant to use as scripting languages, which it kind of requires fast prototyping. Once you make your code, you don't want to wait for compilation, for instance. You just want to run and make sure it's already working, because you want to get the feel of the game. And there's it's not free to integrate. You still need things to integrate, and like in C#, you need to install .NET in your machine to make sure it runs. So even if you embed it in Godot, it's just not as convenient. Not to mention the garbage collection. So JavaScript, as I say, is not the same language. It has evolved over time and has a lot of improvements and bug fixes since it was open source. So it's a different language, even though it's similar. It's much more reliable now. And as I say, a lot has been rewritten, and that makes it like better and more maintainable as well. In a lot of things that existed when the first open source commit of Godot, now just it's gone, it was replaced for something better. What remains is mostly like the API bits, because the API has been not changed that much since the beginning, like the scripting API in Godot. And the editor also included new features and also is getting better and easier to use. So enough of talking about the past, let's talk about the present. And of course about the present, I mean going back to Godot 3.0. Because I think that's the really major big point in the Godot history that started really like the modern Godot. So what happened in Godot 3.0? We had the match statement, we had properties. Before we had like get and set functions, like get position and set position. In Godot 3, now you can just get assess the position, which allows you to do like plus equal something, which is before was like impossible. And it's been there since Godot 3, which was released in January 2018, a long time ago. Now we had the enums. We also had a contribution by Hein Peter to improve the VM performance, like for a good amount, uses some GCC extension trickery. Doesn't really want you get to depend to it, but it just improved a lot of the performance of the VM. And in Godot 3.1, which was released in March in 2019, we add the optional typing system, which I worked personally myself, and it's like a really optional system, because if you don't want to use it, you don't have to. If you want to use like partially, you also can use it. And I also added warnings, which allows people to like get potential mistakes that are not really hard errors, but might be a problem, so they can like get aware of those. Also, the warnings also work in a non-typed code, by the way. And you also added the class name, which allows global classes and showing them up in the add node dialog and the add resource dialog as well. Godot 3.2 was released in January 2020. It introduced the language server protocol, which is a way to communicate with external editors. So if you have like a VS Code, or if you have Emacs or Vim or something like that, you can have a client on your editor that communicates with Godot and get information about the scripts. So you can get like errors and warnings showing in your editor without having to actually implement anything special in the editor. And yeah, but the internal editor also got a lot of improvements. You got the ability to make bookmarks, you had the minimap on the side, helps like find things in longer code. Have an indicator for signal connection. If you connect the signal in the editor, the script editor is going to show a little icon next to the function that's connected, so makes you aware of that's happening. And evaluate selection, just have a math expression, you select expression and you just type a keyboard shortcut, it just converts to the result of the math expression into the code. So it's a very small thing, but very convenient. And Godot 4.0, we're going pretty fast here. It was released like this year in March, and it has a complete rewrite of the parser, which helped a lot in the maintainability scenario. I mentioned at the beginning, it has the parser and the analyzer, and before everything was like in the same file, and it's a little bit complicated. Some people mistook one thing to another when contributing code, so it was some mistakes happening, so I decided to split that into different classes. So they're also smaller files, they're easier to work with. The parser is more like a textbook parser, so if you're a bit familiar already with programming languages, you can like understand what's going on much more easily. And that improved a lot the maintainability. We have better error detection as well, which allows multiple errors to be detected at once, which can take it for granted. But like before, in Godot 3, you already cannot. You just have one error. If it's one error, it just stops there. But in Godot 4, you can have multiple errors detected at the same time. We have a better type system. The nums that were introduced before now can be used as actual types. You have also signal, first-class signals and first-class callables, which are the functions. Like if you reference a function by name, it just became a callable and you can call it somewhere else. You can pass them as function arguments if you want. You can store them in arrays. This has a lot of other possibilities. And also it reduces a lot of the use of strings, especially for signals, because you can just access the signal by name, and then you can connect a function with by name itself, and the editor can catch some errors and typos and stuff like that. And you also have a documentation page for scripts. So you can add little comments in your script, and that's going to show up in the documentation together with all the class reference that you have in the engine, also have the reference for your scripts. It's really great for plugins and third part code like that. And there's more things in Godot 4. We improved the handling of dependency cycles, thanks to Adam Scott here. Really nice thing, now you don't have this problem out of dependencies. You can use it much better in Godot 4. We have the await keyword, which replaces the youth keyword. Essentially, it makes it much, much simpler to use. Use a different keyword to make sure that it's a different thing, so people cannot be super confused. And it's much, much easier to understand. You don't have to deal with any implementation detail. We also add annotations, which reduce the number of actual keywords, which also helps, like, if you have a variable names and stuff like that. It can interfere if you have, like, the same name as the keyword. And with annotations, we can just create a new namespace, let's say, for these special keywords like export and RPC and tool and stuff that are not really directly part of the script itself, but we can just add more without like compromising the keyword scenario. And we have like many performance improvements in the VM, and most particular for typed code. If you typed code your script, the compiler can figure out that some things must always be true, like some types, this is always a number, this is always an integer, so I can make sure like it's an integer plus an integer, just call the function that sums both. I mean, I don't need to check the types at runtime, that just makes everything much faster if you use types. And you have a test suite. I think that's a really big thing that's not shown to the general public because the public doesn't see that. But we are adding like test cases for GDScript, which allows us to catch regressions. Like if there's a bug, we usually make a new test that reproduces the bug and then we fix it. And then we make sure that newer changes are not gonna make the same bug happen again, because we can just catch in during the pull request phase. And more of the present time, Godot 4.1 and 4.2. 4.2 has not been released yet, but it's probably going to be like in a few weeks from now. So it's just including everything that's already there. A lot of things went for stability, and the tests that I just mentioned help with that. We have like almost 500 test cases in GDScript right now. We added static variables, so some things that you need to be like persistent all the time without have specific instances. Most people use an autoload for that, but sometimes an autoload is not really the best option. You can just need a static variable, and a lot of our requests, and we make sure that all the problems that we have with static variables were solved for this particular thing, and we included this in 4.1, I think it's already in 4.1. Yep. And have a raw strings, which if you have like a backslash in your string, you just don't need to escape it. And that might looks like a small thing, but if you do a lot of regular expression, it just makes everything much more readable. We have the thread supporting the debugger. It is a 4.2 feature, which is something also that has been requested a lot. And if you have threads in your code, debugging it was always super difficult because the debugger does not stop, and that has been fixed. So if you have an error, a runtime error in a thread, the debugger is just going to stop in the editor, just like any other error. You can see like all the threads, what's going on. You can put breakpoints in threads as well. And you can see the values and anything, everything that's supported right now is also supported for threads. We have the pattern guards, which are special things for match that allows you to specify a condition for a case. I'm not going to get into super details here, but the very common thing in all the languages support match pattern, and it was finally added into the script as well. And we have like more VMware optimizations, including some optimizations that do not require types or anything. If you're not using types, just in some cases also getting a little bit faster. Whew. Conclusion. It has like been a long journey for JavaScript since the open source, or even before that, but especially since the open source part. And JavaScript is getting bigger. It's not just me. There is not only Adam, as I mentioned before, which which is also making like the regular meetings. So it's really good because we have meetings almost every week, and we can discuss things with the team. We can discuss, oh, there's a problem here, or there's this proposal. What do we think? There's this PR. What we think about that? And we can like make sure that JavaScript is always getting like better and better, and there's like a lot of ideas and from the community and from the team as well. And the proposal systems that we have, so you have an idea for JavaScript, you can just go to the Godot proposals repository and open a new proposal, or maybe you want to open discussion to discuss first with the community what everyone thinks. And we constantly like check that to see what's the interesting thing, what's the people are asking for. And yeah, I think that concludes the present. I think that's the part that most people are expecting for this talk. So the future, there's no JavaScript anymore. We just remove it from the engine. No, that's not true. So I think the first point that I want to make is stability. I think that's like super like first one topic that I want to make sure it works reliably. It's important that you do not like you do not find bugs in the language. You should not be finding bugs in the language. I think it's important that if you find a bug, it's your fault. It should always be your fault. It should not be my fault. So the first the most thing that helps stability is tests. We can like assess that because that has been happening with JavaScript. Sometimes we make a PR and then the test fails, and then wait, why the test fails? And then if I, okay, this is introducing a bug, this is not the way it's supposed to work. So we can make sure that everything is work as we expected, and we expect even after changes, we can keep this. Assertion works, but not everything can be tested. So that's why once we improve the test system, should test some things that currently is like impossible to test, like the auto completion, the integration at the editor that includes the export variables, the doc generation, some other stuff, the hot reloading, which is kind of also part of that. There's some issues already like with hot reloading, and sometimes we want to make sure that the bugs are not reintroduced, but it's very difficult for now because there's no way to test that. So we want to like think about a system how to do test those things. Are the tool scripts, because since they run on the editor, they have a little different things the way they work, and we want to make sure that we want to test those as well. And I think that's like most thing for stability, because you can like always ensure that JavaScript is working as it's supposed to work. And if you find a new bug, we can add a new test case, and then we make sure that this bug is not going to happen again. And there's also a part about the internals, which helps with the stability, because if the internals of the JavaScript implementation are cleaner, it means that more people are able to maintain it, more people are able to understand the code and help, and it helps. And even though like a lot of things has been redone for some time, there is still some stuff that are old, and there's like stuff after the refactor that we end up like patching and stuff like that. So you can stuff, you should have stuff to clean it. And that helps old and new contributors, because it's much easier to navigate a code base. Even if you are familiar with it, it's much easier if the code is very well organized. And also it's easier to fix bugs and add new features, which I think is something that everyone wants. So even though the refactors and the internals are not really, like, you cannot see directly the results of it, you can see like that the progress is can be made faster by doing those things. And it's in tests, and hopefully the new tests, as if we can do it, helps to avoid regressions, which are essentially like things that were working now, but after a change, they're not working anymore. We call that a regression, and having tests avoid this from happening. Even if you do like a huge refactor or something like that, you can make sure, oh no, it's JavaScript is working as it is supposed to work. And of course, we want to make the code like run faster. We want to take less time running code and improving the VM performance. It's one thing that we have in mind all the time. And we want to investigate ahead of time compilation and JIT compilation, just-in-time compilation. And just a quick brief if you're not aware, ahead of time compilation just means we take your script and like in the editor, we just compile it to a binary code, to directly machine code that just can run. Exactly, so like when you export, you just create the machine code and then run, you just like as fast as it can be, because just run directly into the in the processor. Or just-in-time compilation is kind of like that, but instead of doing like in the editor, you do it at runtime. So when you load the script, you compile your machine code, and then you can run on the current machine that's running. And we are looking to proposals that would improve this performance in some other ways. Like you can use AllowVM as a backend, which is used by a lot of languages out there, so it's a very established thing. We can also use Transpile to C code, or maybe C++, and use existing compiler for C. And that would make the code essentially is the same as ahead of time compilation, but instead of compiling directly, you just compile to C and then ask the C compiler to optimize everything, and we have only do half of the job. Or using WebAssembly, which on web we can just like use the browser itself, but we can also include a runtime for other platforms. There's also something that has been proposed, and everything is just something that they want to look into and do research and search what's feasible, what's the best option for us. This idea of intermediate representation kind of clashes a little bit with other things, but the idea is just instead of using JavaScript right now is just the source code. So you just load the source code and then you compile and then you start that until you need to run it. And my idea is to just do this compilation part beforehand and save this in a format that can be stored in the JISC. So you can start that like in the PCK during export, and then at the release, when you load the script, there's no script anymore, there's just this code that can be really fastly converted to bytecode and then run on the VM. That improves not only the loading times, which can be a bit complicated with like big scripts and big interdependencies between scripts, but also like some people has been asking for obfuscation of the code, and that allows you to not start like the plain source code into the final release of your game. So another good point that we want to improve is the editor. Make sure that like managing your JavaScript code is better. First of all, it's code completion. I think it's a tool that everyone uses like all the time. So I'm going to improve it, make sure it's working as best as we can do it. Some manufacturing tools, which allows you to rename like variables and functions without having to actually manually check for everything. Some options for static analysis. For instance, I wanted to make a tool that analyzes your whole project and can get like a script and node that's connected to a particular node in a scene and how it interacts with other scripts. Because by default, your JitScript only knows about its own file. It doesn't know anything about the scene. And I want to make sure that's some better options to find errors in bigger code bases. Better information in the editor, like if you hover a variable, there's a toolchip that says like the type of the variable, for instance. I think it is being worked on right now, but there's other things that we can do in the editor as well, and to like make it essentially more usable and easier to use and have more tools and allows you to stay in Godot without needing to use external editors. It helps a lot of just the facility of doing that. And of course, there's the new things, the new features that we want to make JavaScript more expressive, which just means that you can like do more things with less words and do like more special things. And the first one is traits. It's something that I've been working on, maybe 4.3, maybe. It's essentially a mix between like the mix scenes and the interfaces. You can use these as purely as interfaces or protocols. Essentially, just, oh, this class must adhere to these interfaces, must have these methods, for instance. But you can also like add code to those methods. So you can have like a default implementation and you can share this between multiple codes without having to deal with actual inheritance or stuff like that. Nullable types is something also has been worked on lately, especially if you use primitive types like integers or vector2, which is like primitive in Godot. They're not possible to be null, but they are. The idea is that you can like maybe add an option that okay, this can be either something or null, which helps a lot with some cases with types when you need like a default value or something. Type a dictionary. We have already typed arrays, but there's a few issues with typed arrays that we are looking to correct and make sure that's like all polished before we add a type a dictionaries, because the same issue is gonna happen with dictionaries. But I think we have like in a good path to finish that really soon. We have a structs, which is being a proposal, a more recent proposal, and kind of an implementation as well. We have a lot to discuss about this, but it's something that's like happening. And there's something that I don't really want to promise, but there's a lot of proposals that have been super popular, and I figure we want to mention because we're gonna discuss it. We're gonna see if it's feasible, if it's possible, if it's something that makes sense to the language, because like adding things to the language is easy, but removing things to the language from the language is impossible. So when we add something, we want to make sure that's the way it's going to be like forever. One thing that I like is access modifiers. I have protected and private variables or functions, and something that's maybe it's visible in the context of JavaScript, and being object oriented also makes a lot of sense to have those things because it's a very staple thing. Array unpacking, which does exist in a few languages as well, makes it easier to pass values like from functions and to functions as well. Not only array, you can like maybe think dictionaries or maybe even a vector 2 or vector 3 that you unpack into something. Namespaces, which mostly for plugins, especially like because when you create a class in your plugin, you don't know if there are other plugins that might be using the same name or maybe the user code once you use the same name and have some clashes. So having everything in more compartmentalized makes sense. Variadic functions, which is something that is supported in Godot, but not in JavaScript. JavaScript does not create a function in JavaScript, even though you can access some functions that exist in the engine itself. So it's something that might be really possible to implement if you get the syntax and all the details right. abstract classes and functions is also a proposal that has been a lot of activity lately and might make sense. We want to investigate again, talk with the team and see if that's something that we can go forward with. And a code formatter, which we have like a GDQuest made like a essentially funded a contributor, multiple contributors actually, to work on a code formatter for GDScript. And there is a pull request. There is some issues with the current code, but maybe we can work on polishing it out and finally have something that helps a lot of the formatting of the code, which is really good to for a team as well, because you can just make sure that the whole team is using the same style and everything. It's much easier to work with, and of course, other things. there's a lot of proposals in the repository, and some has been like really upvoted, and we're looking at those that has been like, okay, the community seems to be wanting that, and we want to discuss with the team, maybe make like a priority list. What do we work on first? What do we work on later? Maybe we don't work on this at all. Maybe we'll work on something else. But that's like something that also the community can participate, because we are in the Rocket Chat. If you do go into the community tab of the Godot Engine website, there is a link to the Rocket Chat where all the contributors are there. If you have a cache question about the code itself or about some proposal or something like that, you can go there and ask. We're just there. It's not like a hidden thing. It's not a secret. It's not a secret club. We just open for everyone. And I guess that's it for now. There's still a lot of things that we know we need to do for GDScript, but now we have like a good team, and it's just not me. I'm not lonely anymore. and we just need to consider everything. As like I say, they just easy to add something, but it's impossible to remove something. So that's why we just don't accept this. Makes it super obvious, but I mean it is obvious. Like, but maybe in like a month from now, someone is gonna find a problem with it, and then we could have figured it out beforehand. And then now you have to either break compatibility, you're gonna sucks for everyone, or you're gonna do some patches that's gonna also suck for everyone. So that's why you always consider everything super carefully. And I believe that the future GDScript is really bright. I think there's a lot of things that are going to happen, and there's already a big community, and a lot of things in the future, it's just going to be a super great thing. It already is, but it's going to be better. And I guess that's it for questions.
So, Gerge, this is not maybe a question, but rather like an acknowledgement of your work, your hard work for GDScript. A lot of things that you saw in 4.0 and 4.1 and even before, when you listed the past and the present of Godot, like, is from you. So maybe we could applaud Gerge for his hard work.
Thank you, everyone.
Hi. So I'm new to Godot, and sorry, I apologize if this is a stupid question. But you talked about like the deep engine integration and like ahead of time and just in time compilation. And I wonder how it is done right now. Like, is it interpreted completely? And what I want to know exactly is, what about modding support? So if I have a build, is it possible for the community of my game to contribute with GDScript?
Okay, that's a good question. So right now, what we have is like we load the source code of your script, and we just compile to bytecode, and that's stored in memory and shoots the time to run, essentially. And that if you have like if you have GET compilation, it's probably going to be the same thing. It's just going to happen that when you compile into bytecode, it also compiles to machine code. So this is, I mean, for modding, it's going to be the same. Ahead of time compilation and some other possibilities do take away this. But what we can do is essentially, I have like a dual approach where you can choose to keep the script like fully dynamic in the release build in your export template. Otherwise, we can just remove a little bit of JDScript. Also, it can make the export leaner for people who don't need this functionality. So you can like choose what you want.
Hi, great talk. I was curious, you mentioned like nullable integers. Is this something that's going to be explicit, like similar to C++ or Zix or like any integer will be able to be null?
Yeah, this is something that's explicit. So right now, if you have an integer, it can never be null if it's statically typed. The idea of a nullable is to be optional. So this can be an integer or a null, but this is explicitly typed. And then you have to check if it's new or not before you can actually use it.
Yeah, hello. Maybe I missed that, sorry. What is the situation about exception handling? The try or catch?
Yeah, so right now, I mean, there is nothing like that in Godot. It just, JavaScript kind of fails gracefully. If you have a function and it gives an error, it kind of like returns the function and whatever else happens, you know, after it, just gonna keep going. We have, I don't think it have a lot of been discussions about exceptions or stuff like that. So it's something that, I mean, if you want to make a proposal about it or want to discuss it more, maybe open a discussion in the Godot proposals repository, because right now there's, as far as I'm aware, there's not really a lot of interest in this thing.
Hi, thank you very much, and thank you very much for JDScript. I was a big fan of C#, now I'm a big fan of JDScript. I have a question about the static typing. You earlier said that it is obviously more performant if you use types. Can you give us a little hint on how much of an improvement it is so we can like better decide on that?
It depends a lot of, there's a lot of factors into it. Like some operations are like 2 times faster, some operators are like 5 times faster, something like that. Depending on the function call and how it goes through the interpreter. I mean, generally it is faster, but I mean, the exact amount is very difficult to say, just it depends on a lot of factors.
Hi, great talk, thank you. And the nullable, is there nullable pointers as well? Or is that a plan in the sense that you might want to annotate pointers to be non-nullable, like the inverse thing, basically?
Yeah, like pointers, I assume you mean like reference to objects and stuff like that, that by default they are nullable. That's something that I consider, but I'm not sure there's a lot of discussion in this sense. So maybe you need more time to mature that idea. I'm not really against it, but I don't think there has been a lot of discussion on this one in particular.
Yes, thank you for your amazing work. I was kind of interested because one of the proposals that was more of a maybe was abstract classes and functions. And I was interested with the traits that seems to be kind of like interfaces. Like I would want to hear like how it kind of differs. You would say from an interface / abstract class if it's kind of an in-between. So I would want to hear some kind of expansion on that a bit, how traits are going to end up working.
Sure. So the idea of abstract classes is just a class. It has some like some stub functions that you have to implement when you inherit it, and it's kind of the same with traits. The difference is more like the relationship, because with a trait, you can essentially like add multiple traits to the same code and stuff like that. But with, when you inherit an abstract class, you're kind of fixed on only one thing that you have to do. I mean, they're very similar in a lot of ways. I'm not sure if I can like figure out a very specific difference for that besides the idea. But if you look at the engine itself, there's a lot of classes that are abstract, and you might not worry about like the button. There's like a base button class that's not really something that you want to instantiate, but you want to make a derivation of that. And that's kind of the same use for other things. Maybe you have like a huge tree of things that are connected by inheritance, but they have like a base, and you don't want you to be a trait. You really want you to be part of the inheritance tree, but you don't want anyone to instantiate that, or you want to force like the inheritance to actually implement these methods. And that's kind of how you use this as opposed to traits.
So in the future improvement, you mentioned about documentation, out-to-documentation generation, but also I saw in the present, I think you mentioned something about documentation. Is there like currently supported any documentation generation, or is it just a future idea?
So the documentation that happens right now is like just in the editor. So if you have a class, you can just comment that's already working. So you just add like specific comments, and then it shows like in the class reference together with the other ones. That's not like an external thing. I'm not sure if that's what you mean. But I mean, for the future, that's not really, because it's already there. So maybe I'm not sure exactly when I mentioned about in the future.
Yeah. Hi, thank you for the talk. We have typed arrays. You mentioned typed dictionaries, but is there like an idea? Is there like an idea for more general generics, as you say?
Yeah. So there's a lot of discussion about this, because when adding typed arrays and dictionaries, there's a lot of thing in the core of the engine that like does not really lend itself well for this kind of thing. So you're thinking about like going back a step and make sure the engine has a concept of type that works well with everything and arrays and dictionaries. Maybe then we can consider something like generics, because it's an extension of that. But as far as I'm aware, there is no proposal for that. And we usually like try to focus more on what the community like are more interested about first, you know.
Any more questions? Okay.
If nobody talks, then I will talk. So you said that you were not alone in the GDScript team. I could maybe shout out maybe some members of the team. So there's Daniel Alexiev, that is a huge contributor right now. He's our wizard of GDScript. There is Ocean that contributes a lot. There is also
Dimitri.
Dimitri that contributes. So, well, I am, and there's a lot of newcomers too. So, yeah, we're not alone, and we have a lot of new people. So, that's great. And if you want to contribute, just join the chat.godoengine.org, and let's talk.
All right. Okay then, peeps, thank you very much.
Thanks everyone. Thank you for coming.